This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Federal Bureau of Investigation's internet portal receives thousands of complaints each day from people who are victims of crimes, and many are senior citizens. Total losses reported by victims over the age of 60 increased 84% last year over 2021, according to the FBI's Elder Fraud Report. The Hamilton County Prosecuting Attorney's Office created the county's first Elder Justice Unit last month with a team to help prosecute crimes against older residents and help connect them to resources and support for victims and their families. Joining me now to talk about elder fraud, the most common scams reported locally, and what the Elder Justice Unit is doing to help are Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers. Thanks for being here, Prosecutor Powers.
Thank you, Lucy, for inviting me on your program to talk about this important topic that's affecting many seniors in Hamilton County.
Well, thank you. Hamilton County Assistant Prosecutor Matt Brew, thanks for being here, Matt.
It's great to be here, Lucy. Thank you very much.
And Montgomery Police Officer Alexis Gilkey. Welcome, Officer Gilkey.
Thank you for having me.
Have you or a loved one been the victim of elder fraud? You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Prosecutor Powers, these numbers from the FBI really are staggering. 88,262 victims over the age of 60 in 2022. They report $3.1 billion in total losses with an average of more than $35,000 lost by each victim. Why do you think we're seeing so many cases of this kind of criminal action?
Well, financial exploitation of seniors is largely even underreported. Many of us are seniors who may have been scammed or even approached and attempted to be scammed, don't report the information to law enforcement. I want to create a unit to be able to create a strong safety net for our seniors, with our mission being twofold: to go after those locally that are scamming our seniors and taking advantage of them, whether it's a stranger, a caregiver, or even a family member, but also to go after those that may be doing it internationally through the internet or the phone. And our best way to protect our seniors here locally from being scammed is to empower them with knowledge. So that's why we're doing a lot of outreach and educating our seniors on how to protect themselves, how to become a master at scam detection, and to talk about and inform them of the most common scams so that they can enjoy their golden years.
What inspired you to start this Elder Justice Unit? Was it the kind of figures that that I just mentioned? I mean, or just the fact that it's these crimes have been so common and are happening so much?
It is definitely because I saw a need for this unit to be created, where we focus on those that are targeting seniors. I view my job as the prosecutor to protect the most vulnerable. We often think of children being only the most vulnerable, but seniors are as well. When you look at the national numbers and even the local numbers, it caused great concern. I saw very quickly that we needed to do something more than just bringing cases to the courtroom, and I wanted to provide and become a resource for seniors so that we can create that strong safety net for them. But as far as inspiration, I know just in my own personal life, I think of my parents, I think of my in-laws, I think of friends who have parents being either approached or scammed for substantial amount of money. And it really truly broke my heart hearing these stories and even seeing it within my own family. My parents worked very hard. They came from the Depression era. They saved, they sacrificed, they have a nest egg. And for somebody, some unscrupulous person that's going, whether it's on the dark web or here locally, that would take advantage of them, was just really bothersome to me. So we're here for our seniors in Hamilton County. 20% of the population in Hamilton County currently are people over the age of 60. We know that's going to continue to grow very quickly. And I think we'll see this problem more and more. And it's something that needs to be addressed and focused. And that's why it's happening within our office. I've got a great team of prosecutors, our white collar unit, the Adult Protective Service prosecutors, and Matt Brew's part of the team. He's leading the charge, making sure that none of these cases where a senior has been targeted either financially, where they have been exploited or fraud committed against them, or if they've been abused or neglected. Matt, we want to go after him, too.
Oh, great. I'm sorry to interrupt. Matt, I know you are working on this unit. What was involved in creating this, and what does the unit itself do?
It's a complex issue, as Prosecutor Powers laid out, and we have to be cognizant of what our resources are and what we can add to the community here. And I want to stress saying that we already have some incredible resources here in Hamilton County that have been doing great work in our senior community. Resources like Pro Seniors, the Council on Aging, AARP, Meals on Wheels. So the first thing that we did in this office was we reached out to all of these agencies and offered our help. What can we do to help with outreach and to help with these cases? Because as you said, the numbers are staggering. And I agree completely with what Prosecutor Powers said. One of the themes you hear time and time again with seniors when you go out to the community and talk is the number of hands that get raised in outreach and in meetings and in sessions where the senior or a senior will tell you that, yes, this happened to me, but I never called anyone or told anyone because I was ashamed or I was embarrassed. So those numbers you report from the FBI and from the Department of Justice, that $3.1 billion, those numbers, most experts agree, are grossly underestimated just because of that embarrassment that people feel when they get taken by one of these scams. So we go out to our partner agencies and we say, what can we do? What can we help with? And the big need in the community, number one, was outreach to seniors to help prevent crime before it stops. But the other thing, too, was partnering with our law enforcement agencies, with people like Officer Gilkey, who's here joining us today, and telling them, we want to be a resource when you see these cases because they can be more complex to investigate. You often have victims who are less sophisticated technologically. You have victims that sometimes are difficult, have difficulties getting to the police station for interviews or even getting to court. I had a case just this week downtown in the Common Police Courthouse where the victim was a senior who needed an actual ride from a neighbor to get to court. And she shows up at court all for the scammer to not appear in court to Capius. And now she and her friend were put out for a day waiting for this person not to show up for court. So it really does have to be a community-wide effort if we are going to have this safety net around our seniors that Prosecutor Powers was referring to.
Matt, in the 4 weeks this helpline has been active that you all have as part of this elder justice unit, you've had 35 official reports, you told me. What are the most common concerns that are coming through the helpline?
It runs the spectrum. And there are some heartbreaking cases that you hear about that we've been receiving reports of. There's one that just came across the 946 scam line. And I want to make sure that gets out to all the listeners here is that the number to call if you believe that someone in your family is being exploited or is the subject of a scam or you yourself have received a scam of any sort is 513-946-SCAM. There was a call that came into the scam line just last week about a senior citizen who fell victim to what's called a tech support scam, where someone gets in contact with them and says your computer has been infected with spyware or malware or a virus, and you need to contact us immediately to fix that. Now, most of us that have grown up around technology would know there's no way someone can send you an email unsolicited and know that about your computer. But this individual who was in his 80s called the number that was in the email and ended up being connected to someone who's most likely operating out of the United States, who instructed the senior citizen to go to the bank, withdraw money, and then take that money to a gas station Bitcoin ATM and deposit that into a Bitcoin account. And it's heartbreaking because you hear this call and the only thing you can tell this person is, well, that money is likely gone forever because cryptocurrency is untraceable. It was probably coming from overseas. But you get calls like that with people talking about tech support scams, romance scams, the list goes on and on. And some of them we can do action on, others we can't. And it just becomes something that we add to the list to say, we're going to take your example, the thing that you experienced, and we're going to help other people learn from this to know what they should be doing when these types of things happen to them.
So Matt, for the reports that you have been able to take action on, what have you done with these? What have you been able to kind of move through the system?
There's a twofold process that we take when we have these calls come in. The first thing is we screen them as a team. We've got a dedicated group of attorneys here. Some of them are in our white collar unit that deal specifically with white collar crime, financial crime. We have our adult protective services prosecutor, myself. And what we do is we round table with these cases. And sometimes it's a matter of the senior citizen needs to make a report to law enforcement, and we facilitate making that first step to law enforcement. And then we allow law enforcement to start their beginning actions and their investigations of the case. And we pick up and be the facilitator between the victim and law enforcement. Other times, in at least two of these cases, for whatever reason, law enforcement hasn't been able to give a satisfactory response to the citizen calling. One of the calls we had came from a senior citizen who was being scammed cross-jurisdictionally. So it involved coordination with the Union Township Police. And we have several investigators in the office that can handle these types of cases. So we've actually opened investigations into two of these where our office is doing the investigation and the legwork to see what avenues there are for recovery for these seniors.
We do have a caller on the line. Bernadine, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, I am an ongoing victim of elder abuse because my granddaughter and her husband moved in with me. I was depressed, and they had been out of town, and they were supposedly recovered from addiction, and she was pregnant, five and a half months pregnant, and had a two-year-old I'd never met the husband, and they were back in town. And I had had an Airbnb and wasn't using it, and so she asked, could they stay with me? Am I going to say no? No, I'm not going to say no. Mm. And then I think relapse happened after the baby was born, and everything was taken, my credit cards, my checking account, because I gave her the number to pay for a DoorDash thing or a food we had delivered. I gave her my checking account number. So my checking account people said, well, you gave her the number. Too bad. So sad. Mm. So my friend told me to call Pro Seniors, which I did do. And they finally moved out after it was awful. So that they could get welfare, I signed a 2-page lease. Then I started getting better in November of last year. And in January, I found in amongst the papers a fraudulent lease option to buy my house.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to stop you there, Bernadine. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Prosecutor Powers, Bernadine's situation, I know she's getting help from Pro Seniors, thank goodness. Does this point out how relatives can be involved in these kinds of crimes against seniors?
You're absolutely right, Lucy. And it is heartbreaking to hear when it is a family member that is perpetrating a crime against another loved one, and particularly a parent. The caller did the right thing by contacting a friend and getting in touch with Pro Seniors. But I'd like to encourage her to go ahead and call our 513-946-SCAM, S-C-A-M, helpline, and we'll take a look at the case to see if there's more that we can do to protect her from further financial crime by her daughter.
Yeah. I think it was her granddaughter.
By the granddaughter.
Yeah.
We'd like to help her. There are many resources out there. I'd like to tell her she's not alone. We'd like to help her protect her finances and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we do have that number on our website also. I'll mention that again at the end of our conversation. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll talk about the increase in robberies of postal carriers and what kinds of protections they're seeking. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about elder fraud and the new Elder Justice Unit in the Hamilton County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. My guests are Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powell Powers, Chief Assistant Prosecuting Attorney in the Family Law Division of the Hamilton County Prosecutor's Office, Matthew Brew, and Montgomery Police Officer Alexis Gilkey. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Officer Gilkey, what are you seeing in the city of Montgomery when it comes to elder fraud and these types of crimes that are targeting senior citizens?
We see a variety of crimes. We've had the tech support crime. I give talks fairly often to the community, to some of our retirement community, and then as well the Stepping On program. We have identity theft, any way that they can just get to them. The grandparent scam, we've had a rash of those. The lottery type where you have to pay money to get a prize. There's a large variance of scams out there, and they're constantly trying new things.
Mm-hmm. And talk about how you are involved in the Elder Justice Unit. How can you and your department work with the unit to deal with these problems?
I think having a good investigation on our end, getting all the relevant information, working with our detectives and getting all the information, speaking to the person that becomes the victim and working with the Elder Justice Unit to prosecute these people to the fullest, obviously, and making sure we get justice for the elder community.
Yeah. You mentioned that you give presentations from time to time, especially to senior citizen communities. I know one of the scams that you talk about in these presentations to really help people protect themselves is this grandparent scam that you referenced. Can you just walk us through that one a little bit and how people can avoid falling victim to it?
Yeah. So they'll call an individual, someone will call, it will not be the grandchild, but it will be someone that's saying they're calling on behalf of the grandchild. And they'll talk to them. A lot of times they got arrested for driving impaired, or they got in an accident, they're in jail. And then they'll get the grandparent to actually say their name. Like, this is your favorite grandchild. And they'll be like, oh, Ricky, how are you doing? And then they'll say, hey, I need $1,000. I need $5,000. I'm in jail, or, you know, they have my car. I don't want to call my mom because I don't want to get in trouble. And so it's pressure. It's not like they give them time to think about, is it true or is it not? You know, that's their grandchild. They're in trouble. They want to help them. And then they'll have them. I actually had a lady who hadn't driven in probably 10 years. Her husband was sick. She was going to get in her car, drive to Kroger's and buy how many of her $100 worth of gift cards, and then meet that person and give those gift cards to them. And she had given them her home address. So luckily something clicked at some point and she did call us to inform us, and there wasn't any harm. But those are the kinds of things they do. You know, grandparents are just want to help their grandchild, especially if they're in trouble, and they pressure them into giving them money, thinking that they're helping them get their car out of impound or that they're in jail and they need the money. And it's upsetting. And as Matt mentioned earlier, not only do some of them not report it, I think they also, at least I've run into it, they're afraid the liberties that they have, that their children are going to say, okay, you can't live on your own anymore. Or, you know, you're not going to have the freedom that you have currently, because they'll look at it as they can't take care of themselves. So I think sometimes that part is why sometimes they don't report it. And that's just not the case. We're here to help them. And the more we know about the scams that are going on, the better that we can educate others as well as help them.
Sure. And we've talked on this program before about how scams are getting so clever, even much younger people are falling for them. So, but I'm sure that, as you mentioned, people who are older feel especially vulnerable and worried about what their family members would think. Officer Gilkey, what are the latest scams that you're seeing in Montgomery? We talked about the grandparent scams. Are there others that are just real common in terms of what you hear from residents there?
Well, at certain times of year, we get obviously tax season, you get the calls about, and they also use text messaging about how they have a warrant out because they haven't paid taxes. We have had the technology scam. We've had the lottery scam. We had an older couple that just, we kept telling them stop giving money. They were mailing cash in books to an address. You know, they believe these people because they, the story that they're selling them, you know, they think that what's going on is going to happen. So we've had that. We haven't ran into the romance scam that I'm aware of for us. And we've had some rebate scams too, that, hey, you're entitled to this rebate. Mm. And if you give us money, so we try just to tell people you're never going to pay money to win a prize. Right. That's a automatic, don't do this. Don't answer phone calls you don't know. Don't give out personal information like your bank account, social security number, date of birth. And if they're pressuring you to give it right now, no bank or anybody that's a legitimate business is going to do that. Take a minute, search them online, get a number on your own, and then call if you think that it is legitimate. Just they're very good at pressuring people into things. And I know there's new worry about artificial intelligence, how they can mimic people's voices. And that has been a concern in our community. We have not ran into it, but it is something that's brought up at, when I go out into the community and talk to the our retirees.
Yeah. Matt, how difficult is it to prosecute these cases? I mean, sometimes these people perpetrating these frauds or scams are, you know, in other countries or far away or use lots of technology. How tough is it to prosecute these types of cases?
It entirely depends. You have cases like your caller had a second ago, Lucy, and those are cases involving family members. And there's data out there from the University of Minnesota specifically that really the number one perpetrator of fraud and scams and elder abuse are family members or known associates. So with those kinds of cases, it's difficult at times just because you have to, concerns about sophistication of the victim. The trust factor usually means that there isn't the paper trail that there is in other cases, because why would you keep track of money that you're giving to grandchildren or children or family members? In terms of the scams that Officer Gilkey was talking about, the scams that are coming in from overseas, the reality of the situation is that there's very little that law enforcement in this country can do. And that's not just us. That would be going out even to the federal level, because these scam artists operate in countries like India, Russia, China, and they run call centers and scam centers over there. Cambodia is another big source of that, according to the research. And it's an industry, like much like the call support centers that you call for when you call Microsoft or when you call a customer helpline. There's a call center right below that that's filled with people that are just scamming people day in and day out. So it's like Prosecutor Powers said, the best thing that we can do in terms of our role is to educate people, and not just seniors, but also the family members of seniors. So children, caregivers, of looking for the red flags with your family members that might indicate that they are the victim of an ongoing scam. Some of these lottery scams and romance scams, they don't just happen once. It's a consistent, hey, you need to send us more money. We're only two payments away from your lottery winnings coming through. Or I know you sent me money last week, but man, I just need a little more money this week. And recognizing the warning signs so that you can step in and help your loved one help themselves. So it's an education component of not just seniors, but the entire community. We all have an active role to play in making sure that our seniors stay safe.
Prosecutor Powers, you referenced this at the top of our conversation, but I just want to underscore the Elder Justice Unit goes beyond financial scams and financial exploitation. The unit can also prosecute for elder neglect or abuse. How big a problem is that locally?
Well, just like with the fraud or financial exploitation of scams of seniors, you don't get the reports as much as that we would like. There's also often the victim of the abuse and neglect does not have the cognitive abilities to go forward against, and so that we could bring a case against the perpetrator. Sometimes it's a loved one bringing the case to us, and obviously we're doing everything we can to be able to develop a case. We don't want any senior that's incapacitated or isolated or have declining cognitive abilities to be taken advantage of and abused physically, sexually, neglected. But we do want them to report even to our scam helpline, because we can continue to investigate, use our investigators. We can make referrals to law enforcement. We do want these things reported, but it is a problem. It's a problem that we want to do everything we can to bring a stop to it, and to put those that are perpetrating any type of physical abuse, sexual abuse, that person has to go behind bars. We want them off the streets so that this does not happen to any other senior in our community.
I've been talking with Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers, Hamilton County Assistant Prosecutor Matt Brew, and Montgomery Police Officer Alexis Gilkey. Thank you all so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
The Elder Justice Unit helpline number is 513-946-SCAM. That's 513-946-7226. The National Elder Fraud Hotline is 1-833-372-8311. And we have those numbers on our website, wvxu.org. Up next, robberies of postal carriers have been increasing. We'll hear about that and the protections that mail carriers are seeking. Up next, this is Cincinnati Edition.